Good morning, neighborhood.
Good morning.
Wow, that was so authentic, so real, not contrived at all. Good morning. So glad you guys are here. Hey, we are in, I think it's week three of this series called Forgotten God, and it has already been a pretty fun series for me. Man, I can't stop the meet and greet. Yeah. The worst culprit is my father. He is the worst, right? It's because you did that to him for 25 years and now it's payback, right? Hey, so we're in week three and this has been a really fun series for me. It's been a series that I have actually anticipated, I prayed for, I have believed for some time. Actually, I've been here now, just so you know, officially almost 4 years. June 1st will be 4 years. Is that hard to believe? But let's just pretend that I just got here. Let's just do that. Let's pretend I'm still the new guy, because the new guy is always getting, like, everybody wants to hear him speak. Like, they love the family. They're so excited about the new change. And so it's still brand new to me, right? So we're here. We've been here for 4 years. And in those 4 years, I knew at some point that I would do a sermon series on the Holy Spirit. But it's tough to do a sermon series on the Holy Spirit, because when you think about the Holy Spirit as a Christian or as a believer, maybe grown up in the church, whatever, we are all over the map when it comes to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit actually created denominations and divided denominations. The Holy Spirit actually started certain churches and divided churches. And so it was always one of those, like, you step into it going, okay, what's going to happen here? But the reality is, if we really treat the Holy Spirit as a person and not some manifestation, although the manifestations are real, the miracles are real, physical healing can be real, that there's real evidence of the Holy Spirit working. But if you really don't get into the Holy Spirit as a person and develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit as the third person of the Godhead, I've said this from the beginning, that it is tough and almost impossible to have a relationship with God and Jesus without the Holy Spirit, because they are all one and of the same. Are we serving a two-thirds God, or are we serving a full God? A whole God, one who actually we want to experience every attribute of who he is in our lives. And not just on Sundays, not just at 10:30 in the morning, but every day, that when you wake up, he might be the first one you talk to. That when you go to sleep, he's the last one you talk to. I know for me, Jake and I were having this conversation this morning. We always have these as we get here early in the morning. And it is transforming even both of us. As we are intentional about speaking to the Holy Spirit, it's amazing how intentional the Holy Spirit is in speaking to us. That when I talk about him in my life and pursue him in my life, he pursues me right back. And it's a powerful relationship. And that's what I want to talk to you today about, is the power of the Holy Spirit. What does the power of the Holy Spirit look like in your everyday life? How do we actually count on him, trust him? How do we be intentional about seeing him in everything? And I can tell you right now, for my own personal life, where I have seen him speak most into my life over the last number of weeks is in the places where I am feeling tension. He calms my nerves. He keeps me from overreacting. He keeps me from stepping into places that I shouldn't step into. He keeps me from taking somebody's comments or somebody's email and overthinking it. He keeps me from thinking too much about a text message that I might get. How many of you are with me? Like, you can't read into the text message, you can't read into the emotion, and that's why we have these emojis, and those don't do anything for me, just so you know. Memes are better. I like memes. I love memes. But the Holy Spirit in our lives keeps us in a place where we navigate adversity in such a way that we begin to be content with whatever is thrown at us. We have the power to overcome those things. So as we begin, Actually, you know what we're going to do? This is what I wanted to do first, and I didn't even tell the usher guys this. We're going to take our offering. We're going to take it right now. As I go into like a little bit of a story in the beginning, I'm going to allow the offering to be passed around. And so we're just going to allow these offering bags be passed around during this time. But here's what I wanted to talk to you about the offering. There's a few ways to give. There's a way that you can give really in an old-fashioned way. There's a little white envelope in the chairs below you, and you can put cash in there. You can put checks in there. You can put your social security card in there. You can put, your safety deposit box key in there, whatever you want to put in there. You can put in there and give. But then there's the modern way of giving, and that is you can give with technology, online, with your phone, via text, or an app. And you can go to the app store, Church Center app, download that app, and follow the instructions, and you will find that it's just like the good old-fashioned, or the good old-fashioned, the new cash apps where you want to give somebody cash. You can do it directly from your phone. So if you're looking at that bag as it's going through and you're going, wow, this church is in trouble. We don't have a whole lot of money in these bags. I better give more. You should give more, but that isn't the reason why there's no money in the bag, because most of us, actually an increasing amount of people, are giving online. We do this. We give online. We find it to be very valuable. Number one, I don't forget. Number two, it takes a deep step of faith to say what? To say that, God, I'm going to give you permission to access my account, and I'm going to ask you to withdraw at a certain time every month or every 2 weeks, and I'm gonna have faith that you're gonna use that. So it all works, right? So those are things. But here's the other thing I wanted to point out. Where does that money go to? It goes towards ministry. I want to just show you real quickly what it pays for. It pays for things like heat and lights and air conditioning and staffing and children's ministry. This was yesterday at this church. Denver Street School called us about 6 months ago and said, would you please allow us to use your church as our place for graduation? There was 400 plus people on this campus. There was cars parked on every street around here. It was unbelievable. I was standing in the corner because there was no place to stand. I felt like it was like a New Testament moment where somebody was going to be lowered through the ceiling and get healed. Like, that's the way I felt. But look, I want you to stop there. Look at this. Look at this. Look how beautiful this girl is. Do you see what it says on her hat? Started from the bottom. Denver Street School reaches out to kids who are either homeless or don't have much. A lot of them are living in hotel rooms, and they give them an education. Many of these kids get scholarships. They go on to college. They do great things. Last night while I was here, one of the graduates, past graduates, came in, and he shook my hand, and he says, He introduces himself and he says, what's your name? And I told him, and then later on he found out I was a pastor, and it shocked him. But here's what I asked him. I said, so you're here as a graduate? And he said, yeah. And I said, so do you live in the area? Do you work around here? What do you do? And he goes, yeah, I'm actually a financial analyst. And he said, like 8 years ago, I couldn't even pass a math test. It's just amazing what God is doing with this group. My daughter works there. She got a job there. She told us yesterday, I have my dream job. It's my dream job. And I am so happy to be a part of a church, as small as we are even right now, that we are taking our resources and we're leveraging for the kingdom of God. And yesterday, as I stood in that corner, I couldn't help but think, this is what heaven will look like. I had dreams before I ever came here 4 years ago in June that God would fill this sanctuary, and not just with white people, but with cultures, with demographics that we don't know much about, with people we would never know really, or know them by face. We don't know their culture. We don't know their background. And in this place, these 25 kids who pushed through to get a graduate certificate and a diploma and walked this stage and cried, literally wept because they were graduating. And to think that those 25 kids would bring an entire room together in unity blew my mind. And you know what I think? I think that's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit moves among us in real ways that we all become one. We all become unified. We all find one common purpose, one common mission, one common goal. And together we can do really amazing things together. And I believe this place will be filled with people and the Spirit of God in such a way that the neighborhood cannot help but notice. And I guarantee they noticed yesterday. People were driving by yesterday going, what is going on? The cop that was here, they had a cop in the foyer, and he comes up to me and he's like, I'm pretty sure you're breaking fire code by a long ways. And I said, are they coming? Are they going to call the fire department? He goes, I'm not telling anybody. He goes, this is the best job I've had on duty in years. He said, this is the coolest thing. He said, our city needs more of this. Praise God. Amen. So that's what your tithe goes to. That's what your tithe goes to. I'm super excited about it. So, hey, as we begin, I want you to think for a second about what your first car was. Do you remember that thing? And it's probably a thing. You know, not really a car. It like barely moved. Mine was a 1976 Toyota Corolla four-door sedan, rust color, which was really convenient to be rust color. 325,000 miles on it or something like that. It was ridiculous. And my dad told me when I was driving, he said, there's always two things you got to put inside this car. Gas. What else? Oil. That car needed more oil than it needed gas. It was awesome. It was a great little car. But there was this moment where I was kind of in a rush to get some oil and put some oil in because I pulled the dipstick out and it was like completely dry. You ever have one of those moments? It was like, I think this thing's just going to stop working in a second, you know? And so I go in there and I get like 8 quarts of oil. Didn't even look at the label. And I dump this oil inside of this car. My mom and dad don't even know this, and they're wondering why that car died still to this day. This was the moment, right? And so I'm pouring this oil into this car, and all my buddies, I have like 4 of them in the car waiting to go to the beach. And so we're driving down the freeway, 105 degrees. It was so hot in Southern California at that time. We're all in a pair of board shorts, Hobie board shorts, and flip-flops. No t-shirts, flock of seagulls, hairdo, and we're all smoking. Your pastor used to smoke, just so you know. I'm not a heathen. I'm like smoke billowing out of this car as we're driving down the freeway. And what I didn't realize is the oil that I put in it was like a different weight and the wrong weight for really hot temperatures. It was very thin. And that thing, my car, as I was driving, I started to realize, hey, there's something other than cigarette smoke in the cabin here. And it started to come through the vents. Smoke filled up the vents. And we looked like Cheech and Chong. Do you guys remember that movie back in the 70s? It was like, whoa, this is weird. So I roll down my windows. There's smoke billowing out of this car. My brother's laughing because he loves that car. He loved that car. And as we're driving down the freeway, it's just billowing smoke. And I can't see anything. I pull over, and a lady pulls over next to me, and she rolls down her window, and she says, I'm pretty sure your car is on fire. And I just waved at her with one finger, if you know what I mean. And that car was smoking. It looked like an inferno. And it wasn't on fire. It was just oil everywhere. But I probably spilled oil all over the engine too. You know, it was a terrible day. Moral of the story is this. What is in you will always come out of you. What is in you will always come billowing out of you. Whatever you're smoking is coming out. It will come out. Here's another way of putting it. What is in the engine in your life will come out on the road of life. What fuels you, here's what I want you to see. What fuels you will transform you. It will completely change you. Whatever fuel you put inside of your soul is what will transform your life. Some simple examples that I wanted to give you this morning is this. Like Leighton, a couple weeks ago before a baseball game, he said, "Dad, I'm starving." You've heard your kids say they're starving. And I'm like, "Oh, buddy, you're starving. Okay." He's like, "Can we just stop at McDonald's and get something to eat?" And I said, "Okay." I pulled into the drive-thru, and he's now 14, and he's got that, like, I'll get the 2 for $5 plus another meal type of moment, you know. And he gets 2 Big Macs. He's 14. You've seen my son. He's smaller than 2 Big Macs, you know. And he mows through these 2 Big Macs in about 5 minutes. I mean, he just, man, I could not believe it. I was like, "Okay, dude, like inhale those things." And then we got out to the baseball field, and about the third inning, he gets this hit to right center, and he gets a double. And he gets on second base, and I see him at second base going like this, going. And I looked at him, and I said, "You okay? Are you okay?" And he goes, my stomach, right? He's on my stomach. And when he gets to the dugout, he looks at me, he goes, "I'm never eating a Big Mac before a baseball game ever again." Because you know what happens? We know what fuels you transforms you. What's in you will always change you. Conversations. You feed on negative conversations, you feed on gossip, gossip will come out. You feed on praise, praise comes out. You feed on peace, peace comes out. When you feed on the love of Jesus in every single way, the Spirit of Christ comes out of your life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, self-control, right? Faithfulness, all these things come out when you feed on Christ, when you feed on the Holy Spirit. But if you feed on destruction, destruction comes out. If you feed on dissension, dissension comes out. If you feed on things that are going to destroy you, what destroys you comes out of you. It is just a fact. In fact, as I'm studying even for or training for this triathlon, I'm actually beginning in the last few weeks to like change my diet. And I've just been reading that they say diets don't work. Anybody hear that lately? They just say diets don't work. Do you want to know why diets don't work? Because diets are basically, most of them starve yourself. They starve your body of nutrients. They cut back on nutrients. And a lot of the ones that I'm reading, they're saying don't cut back on fats. Praise God, I love that. Don't cut back on meats. Don't cut back on good quality fruits and vegetables. And you know where I learned this? Fifth grade health class, that little pyramid that you learned. It still works today. Because here's what happens. When you start to live an imbalanced life, you can't trick your body to believe what diet you're on. Your body will actually transform to it. You try to starve your body will find ways to feed off of starvation. It will start actually feeding off of what's in your body already. The soul is very much like that. You can't starve your soul. Your soul is actually a lot smarter than you think it is. You can't starve your soul because what you feed your soul is exactly what your soul will feed off of. That what you feed in your life is exactly the act. Is completely what will come out of you. And here's my advice to you in 48 years of living and 40 years or so, or 43 years of being a believer. What comes out of you will always come out of you in the most adverse moments. What's inside of you will come out when you are tested. What's inside of you will come out when you are in the fire. For instance, I love some of these quotes that we are a lot like tea bags. We don't know what we're made of until we're dipped into hot water. What comes out of you is when what will come out of you when you are in hot water. What is in you will transform you. And the promise of his presence, the promise of the Holy Spirit that God has given us is the very agent by which you navigate change in your life. Struggles, all those things. So I wanted, as I asked you that question, like what superhero would you be if you could just choose one? And I, after studying this, I thought the one superhero I'd want to be would probably be Spider-Man. Because Spider-Man does not have a nemesis that weakens him. Every now and then, his little web thing quits working for some reason. We don't know why. But Superman, what does Superman have as his enemy? Kryptonite. Thor, what's his enemy? Better not lose your hammer, right? He loses his hammer, all his power is gone. Batman. Gadgets, but you know what Batman's nemesis is? His enemy is that weakens him? His emotions. His emotions. In real life, I'm actually a Batman. My passion gets in the way, but my passion will do great things too. But it can actually weaken my faith if I allow my passion to get so consumed by things that don't help me, right? Aquaman gets weak without what? Water. Salt water, specifically. So will you live by the power? That's the question. Will you live by the power that God has promised you, or will you live by the power that you choose to try to manufacture on your own? The tension that we struggle with in all these things is that Superman has a power that comes against him, but you have a power in your life that comes against you too. And if you allow it to, it will weaken your faith, it will weaken your courage, it will weaken your life, it will weaken your personality, and it will cause you to end up being somebody that you were never intended to be. So will you live with the power that God actually promised you? Here's the thing, the Holy Spirit is promised to everybody who follows him. So when you follow Jesus, it is promised. It is promised that you have access to the Holy Spirit's power. Now, most people, a lot of people, live without that power, not because it's not there, but because they don't walk in it. They don't choose to submit themselves to it. They don't surrender to the Holy Spirit. They don't actively pursue the Holy Spirit. But I want you to look at John chapter 14. This is Jesus' prayer to his disciples. And he knows he's going to go to the cross. He knows he's going to die. He knows he's leaving them. And he begins to pray this prayer to them, and he wants them to know what's going to happen. And so in John 14, 12, we see this. He says, I tell you the truth, anyone who what? Believes. Do you know who anyone is? Anyone. All of us. Every person on this planet that has ever taken a breath has the right of passage to believe in Jesus and to have access to the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's power in their life. So it says, anyone who believes in me will do the same works. Highlight, underline, circle, same works. He says, we'll do same works that I have done and even greater works. So there's two things. You're going to do the same works, but you're actually going to do greater things than Jesus did. That's kind of crazy because I'm going to go to the Father. Now, I want you to just pause and think about that statement for just a moment because, yes, he was saying it to his disciples then, but he's saying it to us right now. If Jesus came into this room and set up a table and all of us gathered around the table, and we're all just hanging out with him when we're having a meal, and he's looking at every one of you intently in the eye. And he begins to say, if you just believe in me, you're going to do greater works. You're going to do greater works. You're going to do the same works, but you're even going to do greater works than I've done. I would be looking at him going, cool. I have always wanted to walk on water. I have always wanted to heal people. I've always wanted to like watch people who could never walk just stand up and start walking. How cool would that be? Because honestly, if I had some of the powers that Jesus had that were manifest in his life, first and foremost, I could make a lot of money. I could start my own little circus and people would come. I mean, people would show up if I just started doing miracles all over the place. Can you imagine if I actually could walk on water? Without any sort of jet propulsion, you talk about a triathlon. Man, I'm telling you, I would kill that swim. I would be amazing at it. And I would just fly right through it because I can run faster than I can swim. But if you stop and you pause and he says, you're going to do the same things, I'd be going through the list. Okay, yeah, I could heal lepers. I could bring people who have blindness. I could let them see again. People who can't hear, their ears would be open. Lame would walk. Like amazing things would begin to happen with my life if I could just have some of these miraculous moments. But then he says, you're even going to do greater works. I would begin to look over my shoulder and say, you're talking to me? Me? I can do these things. Why would you even tell me that I could do these things? There's no way I could do any of these things. No, we can't do any of them without him. because it is his power. Jesus believes that if you follow him, that he is going to be the power in you, through you, and empower you to do great things. It is him that does the work. So I want you to turn to the book of Acts, one book over. So if you have your fancy Bibles or you're on your app, all the notes are on there in the YouVersion app. You can go to Acts chapter 1. And I want to look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but the context is pretty simple. Jesus has died. Jesus goes to the grave. Jesus comes out of the grave. He defeats the grave. He hangs around for 40 days, and he tells them to wait for the power of the Holy Spirit, that it will come upon them. And when it comes upon them, they will do greater works than even he could do. Because now nobody's following one man. People are following a movement. People are following people. People are following, like, Holy Spirit-driven power in individual people. Can you imagine what this church would look like if every single person in this room actually believed that they could do the same works and greater works than Jesus did? What if you believed that? You see, I think that we're really focused on God and Jesus, and very rarely do we actually focus intently on the power of the Holy Spirit and believing that it's in us, through us, and empowering us to do greater works in the same works of Christ. If we believed that, we would be unstoppable. Unstoppable. Acts 1:8. Here's those two words, but you. I love but you. But you's a really good university. I told you about that already. But you will teach you. But you is the conjunction to, from your past to your present and to your future. It is God saying, I'm bringing Jesus, and I'm bringing Jesus' power. I'm bringing the Holy Spirit. You didn't think you could do these things, but you will receive power. Look what he says. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So some of you saw those pictures earlier about Denver Street School here, and you're going, well, that's not our neighborhood. Now, our neighborhood isn't just our neighborhood. This is our Jerusalem right here. Right around our church within 2 miles, this is our Jerusalem. This is where we want to make the biggest impact on our church. But our Judea is our city. And it's not just Arvada as a city. It is Denver as a city. And then we have Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. What's our Samaria? It's the United States. We want to make an impact in our nation. And we want to make an impact in our world to the ends of the earth. This is how we will do our mission. Continue to believe that this is our mission, that we just basically go around telling people, we are witnesses of Christ. We're witnesses of his Holy Spirit. We know his Holy Spirit. We know him. He is in us and through him, through us. We want to prove him to you. The Holy Spirit's power and presence is your power and presence for everyday life. That's what it is. The Holy Spirit is your presence and power for everyday life decisions and everything that you will face. When you believe and follow the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is not just a possibility, it's a promise. It's a promise. It's not just possible, it's a promise. The question is, will you believe in the promise or will you try to create your own? What will you trust in the most? But it's interesting to pay attention to a word that is in here. So when it says, but you will receive, everybody say it. Wow, you guys are terrible. But you will receive what? Okay, now say it like it actually, like you really mean it. But you will receive. Yeah, man, that's, you could, I feel like a cheerleader. You will receive. Again, come on, you will receive
power.
All right, there you go. So power, this word power literally means in the Greek, if you go back into the Greek language, the original language, power is dunamis. Everybody say dunamis.
Dunamis.
Yeah, it sounds like a bad word. Somebody, like, call your brother that when you're a kid, you dunamis. You have no idea what you're calling him if you call him that. You're saying, no, he's really powerful. Dunamis, the translation out of the Greek, this is where we get our word dynamic and dynamite. Dunamis is a powerful word. It says that we are, when the power of Christ through the Holy Spirit comes on us, you suddenly become dynamic dynamite. You're a dynamic person. Now, as I looked that up, I went in my fancy little MacBook, looked up dynamite and dynamic. So the word dynamic says this, characterized by constant change. If you want to be a dynamic believer in Christ Jesus, you're going to have to be characterized by constant change. And I know some of us don't like change. Characterized by constant change, activity, get this one, progress, growth. Dynamite, let's look at that one. Something that has the potential to generate extreme reactions or to have devastating repercussions. We don't like that one as much. And then it says, or impact. So if we are a dynamic people filled with the dynamite power of the Holy Spirit, what we are going to see is constant change that we will navigate for impact. But you will receive power. So what is in you is dynamic dynamite power for your everyday life. That's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit is so dynamic that it has the power to be the dynamite to your kryptonite. So whatever your kryptonite is, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is that weakens your faith. But whatever that is, the Holy Spirit has the ability to navigate whatever it throws at you. And it has the ability to defeat it. It has the ability to, he has the ability. I do this all the time. I say it. The Holy Spirit's not an it. It is a he. When I say that, you correct me, please. Because that's how we believe. We somehow believe the Holy Spirit is some weird entity that enters our conscience. It's not. It is a person who enters your life. Now here's the tension, it, there I go again, he. The tension is this, listen to me, is when you think of Christians, when you think of Christians that you know, people who follow Jesus, who claim they follow Jesus, when you think about those people that are in your life that you know really well, if you could give them one word and maybe even two, would you define them as dynamic? Or dynamite. The reality is that most Christians that we know, we don't see them as dynamic people. There's a lot of Christians that we believe, that we know, that we see, they don't navigate change. They don't like change, and they don't want to walk through it. And they become, they struggle to find some sense of peace when God is actually changing their life for the better. The Holy Spirit makes you a dynamic person. Back in the 90s and 80s, there was this group. There was this group that would tour the nation and speak at high school assemblies. They would speak at churches. And it was this group called John Jacobs and the Power Team. Does anybody remember John Jacobs and the Power Team? I want to show you, there's a picture. Is that amazing? John Jacobs and the Power Team. I mean, just look at that. Wouldn't you want to come to that? It's like, exciting news, the Power Team has a new address. I don't know, it's like, look at these guys. They're just beefcakes. This was back in the 80s where lifting weights was just like getting as big as you possibly can and getting ripped was just like the goal for everybody. I mean, girls are walking around looking bigger than this, you know? I mean, that was the age and the era. It was crazy. But these guys would actually show up and they would stand on stage and they would do these crazy feats in front of you. So kids are in the room would be packed. Elliot, if he was here, he would remember. We went to a bunch of these when he was a little kid. And these guys would get on stage and they would do stupid things like take two bats, baseball bats, and they would go, "May the power of God," and they would like break bats and everybody go, "Oh, I want to get saved, I want to get saved." You know, and they break bats, and then they would, like, one guy I remember took a frying pan, and he just began to bend it. And the whole time he's trying to bend it, there's some skinny guy over in the corner, and he's the hype guy. And he's over in the corner going, help him out. Help him out. Would you just help him out right now? And then everybody's like starting to clap like they could help him. And he's like bending frying pans. And he's like, the power of God. And he's just crazy. They would take city phone books, rip them in half with their bare hands. They would break bricks with their arms. They would do all kinds of stuff. It was crazy. And then they would give this gospel message at the end. Kids are crying, coming to the altar, bawling their eyes out. And I don't know, it was weird. You know these guys are actually still touring? We should have them here. Not. They would take medical water bottles, blow them up, and explode them. Here's what's not impressive about that. What was not impressive about that is these guys, most of them were former NFL linemen, 325 pounds. I mean, they're big, huge dudes, I mean, bending steel bars and all kinds of stuff. And what's not impressive about it is they were already big. They were already strong. They were already strong, strong men. And it was not that impressive for them to do the things that they were doing. Now, what would have been impressive is for them to show up on a Sunday morning like today and stand on stage and actually somehow, some way, find a way to call any one of you up here to do those feats. I mean, what if they showed up on this stage today and they started to do those things and said, we're going to tear a phone book in half, but I'm going to ask Wayne Street to do it with his big hands, and Wayne Street would tear a phone book in half. Or he would actually call the chess club of your junior high to come do that. Or he would do something with weak people to do that. See, what makes God's people really dynamic isn't the fact that they're already strong. What makes God's people dynamic through the Holy Spirit is that he takes ordinary people who have weaknesses and he uses their weaknesses as a ploy to give him their strength, his strength. The Holy Spirit actually comes into their life and suddenly your weaknesses become his strength. And now the display is not your strength, it is the strength that is now within you. Power made perfect in your weakness. So 2 Corinthians 12:9, Paul says this. He says, each time, he said, and he's speaking about Jesus, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. My power, his power, works best when you are weak. And then Paul says this, which is a crazy statement, really. He says, so now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ can work through me. He's basically saying, I welcome all my weaknesses so that God will show his strength through them. I welcome the struggle. I welcome the adversity. I welcome the bad emails and texts. I welcome the statements that were meant to harm me. I welcome the things that were meant to destroy me. I welcome the moment where my marriage doesn't seem like it's going to work and now I have to really rely on the Holy Spirit to make it work again. I welcome the adversity of my finances so that he can show me a miracle through my finances. I welcome the moments where I never thought that I had the power to get out of them, and his power is made manifest through my weakness. That's a tough prayer to pray. But when you can't is when the dynamic power of the Holy Spirit says, oh, yes, you can. Oh, yes, you can. So Jesus paints this perfect picture to his followers. And he paints it to us through Romans chapter 8, 9 through 11. So here's Saul, who became Paul. Saul, who was out to destroy Christianity across the entire world and the globe. He wanted to stop its movement. And somehow the Holy Spirit came into his life and literally knocked him on his keister. It blinded him. It impacted him. The Holy Spirit was brought into his life and it changed him. And these are his words that he shares with the Christians in Rome as a reminder of who they are and who we can actually be. There's those words again, verse 9, but you. but you. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are what? Say it. You're controlled by the Spirit. You know what's interesting? This morning as we were worshiping, I looked around the room, having a hard time believing that everybody in this room was not being controlled by the Spirit of God in this place. That when a people are unified by seeking Him, we suddenly look like we are being controlled by something other than what we think we can control. You are controlled. You are controlled. And that word controlled, I looked it up. Direct behavior or course of events can be changed by a powerful influence. That your behavior and your steps will actually be changed by an influence that's in your life. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you, and remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all. There's the statement that says if you don't have the Spirit of God, you don't have a faith in Christ. Because when you come to faith in Christ, you get the Spirit of God. You get all of Him in that moment. The question is, will you give all of yourself to Him? That's the question. The Holy Spirit is fully available to every single person that comes to know Jesus and follows Christ. And here's the reality of it. But you get to choose whether or not you follow the Holy Spirit's lead in your life. It's your choice. Every day it's your choice. And the more intentional we become, the more intentional He speaks to you. And so what He uses is this negative moment to prove a positive. If you actually believe in Jesus and follow Him, the Holy Spirit is in you and you pursue the Holy Spirit, the evidence of the Holy Spirit comes out of you whether you like it or not. You talk with Him and walk with Him and suddenly your life begins to be changed by Him. Have you ever met a person? Have you ever met a person who looked like Job's story? Like literally everything bad that could happen started to happen to that person? Have you ever met that person that went through a season in life and maybe the season was a year or 2 years or 3 years and it just seems like bad thing after bad thing after bad thing seems to happen and people are going, oh boy, they really upset God in that one. I don't know what happened there. What this passage says, I want you to look at verse 10. It says, and Christ lives within you so that even though your body will what? Die. So it will suffer. Your physical body is going to suffer. It's going to age. How many of you know that's happening to you right now? Everything starts to drag just a little bit. Your emotions, your body, all kinds of things start to drag. You know what I mean? And it says, so even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives what? Life. So as our body is dying, the Spirit is actually increasing your life. You're actually become more alive every single day, even though your body is decaying, your spiritual body inside is actually becoming new again, like a new child with joy and peace and patience and kindness. And you look like you're a person that even though you're wrinkly on the outside, inside you're skipping like a brand new baby. That's exactly what happens. So what he's saying you can suffer physically but thrive spiritually all at the same time. You've met that person. One bad thing happened after another, and suddenly you look at their life, and it's like their joy increases. Their love increases. They seem to be happier than they ever have been. And you can't make sense of it. I can tell you what that is. And speaking with anybody who has walked with people in the dying process, it is evident with the people who do not have faith when they die. They die in fear. They die in struggle. All the bad things starts to come out. The family is in dissension. But the families who absolutely begin to love Jesus, know Jesus, and trust His Holy Spirit, they will be at the bedside singing hymns. Why? Because the Holy Spirit abides in them. That's a dynamic people. That they navigate constant change. Verse 11, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead. He will give life to your mortal bodies. Everybody say amen to that. He's gonna give life to your mortal bodies by His same Spirit living within you. So Paul is saying that the same power that healed Jesus, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, the same power that Jesus would use to heal people is the same power living in you. It's not diluted. It is not watered down. It isn't less than, and it has no bearing on your personality or your character qualities or your traits or your past. So whatever that is, get rid of it, because when the Holy Spirit actually comes into your life, you are a brand new believer with great power in your life to overcome and be empowered to walk through change. Amen? The same power that is in Jesus helps you face cancer with hope. The same power will help you face divorce or a job change. The same power will help you get through an education when you feel like you don't have the smarts to make it. The same power will give you hope even though you're swimming in debt. The same power will actually silence fear if you trust it, if you trust him. Whatever your kryptonite is, there is a Holy Spirit dynamite power to defeat it. So here's the one point that I'm giving you today. The Holy Spirit that is in you has the power to defeat anything that comes at you. Anything. Anything. And if you want to challenge me, come talk to me afterwards. Because I will show it to you. I'm living evidence. I'm living evidence. You throw any dart at me, I promise you, right now. Right now. I am like spiritual Teflon. Teflon. Nothing penetrates the heart that is inside of me because Jesus came into my life and the Holy Spirit dwells. I am a sanctuary for his presence and nothing will ever defeat me. Nothing. Not even death. Death can't defeat me. Cancer can't defeat me. Nothing defeats me. I want you to have that same power. I want you to have that same ability. Recently, I've counseled a couple of boys who their father had left them. Teenage boys, junior hires. And I got permission from the mom to share this. Two boys that never grew up in the church, never had been to church. They don't know anything about faith. I'm gonna invite the worship team to come now. And these two boys were devastated to watch her father just literally leave one afternoon and not come home. And as I'm walking with them and counseling them and listening to their hurts, I just keep praying over and over. I say, God, would you just somehow speak to their souls and let them know that you are there? And I was able to lead both of these two boys to the Lord. They really didn't know what that meant. Started to counsel them a little bit more through that. And there was this one day that we were at a park. And we're both just laying in the grass. Well, all three of us are laying in the grass. And we're looking at the clouds and the sky and everything above us. We're just looking at this massive sky. Beautiful Colorado blue sky. And I said, do you guys know that Jesus is with you always? They started to nod, and I said, do you know that the Holy Spirit dwells within you, that you are a sanctuary for his presence, and that there is nothing that could ever overcome you? There's no problem in your life that you can't defeat. And the one boy looks at me, and he said, I do know that. And I said, how do you know that? He said, it's really weird. Ever since I prayed that prayer with you, he said, now I look out my window at night, and when I'm missing my father, I just look out at my window, and I look at the sky, and I see the stars, and I think to myself, if God can create all those stars, certainly he can create hope in me. An eighth grade boy, if he can get it, you can get it, I promise. If they can get it, you can get it. What would your circumstances look like if you actually believed that the same power that was in Jesus is inside of you? Your circumstances wouldn't control you. And you wouldn't be looking for power positions in order to find some sense of hope in your own life. You would just look for the positional power of the Holy Spirit in your life to find hope. Nothing else matters. What would the circumstances of our neighborhood look like? I want you to stand with me for a moment. And I know that some of you, like, you don't like it when I ask you to give some sort of posture by raising your hands or lifting your chin or your face or opening your hands or arms up. Some of you, like I say, lift up your hands, and you don't want to just lift up your hands. You'd rather just dance at the same time and hop all over the room. And then some of you is like lifting up your hands is like lifting up a 500-pound dumbbell in both arms. So whatever your posture is that makes you feel really, really comfortable, I'm going to let you have that posture, but I want you to still be intentional in your spirit about what happens in this moment. If you are missing some level of power to overcome anything in your life, maybe by invitation, you're inviting yourself into the presence of the Holy Spirit, which already exists in you. Maybe that needs to be your step. Maybe you just need to say, I invite myself into the presence of the Holy Spirit so that I can overcome my anger or my frustration or my fears or my doubts. And so in this moment, would you, if that's you, you want to put your hands in the air, put them in the air, wave, put them up loud and proud, as high as you want. If it's just surrendering by putting your hand, opening your hands open, just open to him this morning. And I'm asking everybody to engage the Holy Spirit this morning in a powerful way. Maybe you want to do something even more radical and you would actually like to come out of your seat and come down here and pray. There's nothing magical here, but there's something inside of us that says, man, if I actually do something that's radical, I can believe in a moment that I'm making a commitment to this. I'm inviting myself into the presence of the Holy Spirit. If that's you, do that. You can come right here and worship. Maybe you just want to get on your face and kneel and start smelling carpet fibers. Go for it. There's freedom in this room to actually experience the Holy Spirit the way that you need to by just saying, I am completely available to you to speak to me. So now that you're in that place, I'm going to pray for you. And I'm going to pray not for you, but for us as a church, individuals and community alike, together. Holy Spirit, we come to you. Holy Spirit, we know that what is in us always comes out of us. So we invite you into our souls and we invite ourselves into your presence. Holy Spirit, we need to be dynamic dynamite people for the neighborhood, but we need to be dynamic dynamite people for our own lives, for our own homes. So Holy Spirit, we call upon you today to pour out your Spirit upon us in such ways that we would actually feel you every single day of this week. We pray with power because you are in us. We don't pray because we're trying to come up with power. We have the power within us to pray the prayers that you have called us to pray. And so I pray these prayers right now among our church, among our body, among our people. And I ask that you would just pour out your power among us. Pray that you would saturate our souls. And I pray that where there is places in this room right now in hearts that need to be repentant over something that has gone in their life, I pray that the Holy Spirit, you would convict them and that you would actually call us to a place of repentance, not in a bad way, in an old church way, but in a way of saying, we turn to you, God. We turn to you to break the habits of our past. We turn to you to break the habits of the shame that riddles our minds and our hearts, that keeps us from being progressive and moving forward and navigating through change. I pray for our people here that we would be a people that would welcome any person that walks into this room. Any social class, any gender, any skin color, it doesn't matter who they are, that they would walk in and that we would be unified by one thing, and that the power of the presence of the Holy Spirit would bring us together and it would cause us to be missional for your purposes and for your glory. So God, I pray that you would heal families in this room that need healing. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would work every single day in their lives where they need healing. Prompt them to pray prayers with great power and strength because you are alive in them. That although they feel like their circumstances are weighing them down, they may feel that they're their life is kind of breaking apart, that their outward bodies are wasting away, but their inward man is being renewed every single day by your Spirit, and they are gaining more strength, and they're living alive in Christ. So pray, I pray, Holy Spirit, for you to move among us. We give you permission. Heal us, heal this land, heal our neighborhood. Give us a mission that would surprise us. Give us a heart for you that would surprise us. Extend our faith in ways that we would never, ever know without you. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to give you permission, if you got to go, to go. And don't feel bad about it, because if you have a commitment, then go. But this is one of those little Holy Spirit whispers as I went to the back of the room, and I just totally impressed by him saying to me, you go back in and you give people an opportunity to be prayed for. For those of you who didn't have the boldness or the courage to actually step out of your chair and move forward, I'm going to give you another option and another time right now to do that. And here's how I want to phrase it. Maybe this week you have something that you're about ready to face that you're not sure that you can actually face it. You don't think you have the power to overcome it. You're concerned about it. You're nervous about it. Then you bring that here, and I'm going to pray for you. You bring it here. Maybe you have a problem in life that is a repetitive issue in your life that just keeps coming up, and you can't defeat it. I want you to come up here. I'm going to pray for you. If there's something going on in you that you can't overcome, then come here and invite the Holy Spirit to actually be the one that defeats it. Come here this morning while we do this. And I feel like there's people here that have to be prayed for. So I'm going to ask Doug, I'm going to ask our leaders, I'm going to ask Pastor John, anybody who feels like they can, they want to pray over people, come with me. Come up here and pray over people with me this morning. I feel like there has to be breakthrough. That there is a ceiling in your life that you can't get past. Like, you want to look up and see the clouds, you want to see the sun, and you can't get there because something's blocking your vision. Then we're going to pray over you. We're going to be a real church this morning. We're going to play in church. So if you got to go home, go ahead and go home. You are dismissed. Have an awesome week. Holy Spirit week next week is going to be awesome, Forgotten God, but we're going to pray right now. We're going to seek the Lord's presence in this place and continue to ask him to fill us up. I'm going to show us a prayer on the screen for you this morning. And I want us to read this together, and then I'm going to pray for these people. And anybody who wants to join us, come on up. Holy Spirit, pray this with me. I give you permission to not just be in me, but to be revealed through me in powerful, miraculous, and dynamic ways today. May my day be filled with awe-inspiring moments of your love and grace. Spill over from me into every person I meet. I want to walk so close with you today, Holy Spirit, that I will be continuously surprised by your miracles. Allow me to see miraculous works in both simple moments and profound breakthroughs that would force me to say, only you, Lord, only you could have done this. Thank you for letting me ride the coattails of your power and your glory. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. I'm going to pray for these people. They're going to continue to play. And if you need prayer, come pray with us here this morning.